It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Governor J.B. Pritzker was in Washington yesterday to defend Illinois' sanctuary laws before a congressional committee. This comes amid protests against the increasingly punitive tactics of immigration authorities across the country.
Illinois follows the law, but let me be clear. We expect the federal government to follow the law, too. We will not participate in abuses of power. We will not violate court orders. We will not ignore the Constitution. We will not defy the Supreme Court. We will not take away people's rights to peacefully protest.
We'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but we begin our Friday political review with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, carrying out arrests in Chicago and the response to that here in Illinois and beyond. With me to talk about some of what's happened is Francia Garcia Hernandez, reporter with Block Club Chicago. Francia, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with what's happening. Where have some of these arrests been taking place? How are they being carried out?
We have seen some arrests happening in Chicago at immigration courts, and we had, I would say, a turning point last week when several immigrants placed under an immigration monitoring program showed up for a check-in at a facility in the South Loop, in the city South Loop, and they were arrested. An event that led to a clash between protesters and federal agents, and that later prompted an investigation from some city officials calling on the city to investigate if Chicago police helped ICE in any way.
Maybe we should be clear about what exactly is happening. These are people showing up in court. These are not people like hiding from authorities, right? They're seemingly trying to comply with whatever the courts say they're supposed to be doing, right? Can you talk about the status of this particular group of people?
Correct. Yes. In this case, we saw them show up at a monitoring program carried out by an ICE contractor. This is called like an alternative to detention program. So these are people who have been going through their immigration cases. They may have active, asylum cases or other pending requests. They are complying with that. Some of them might be under, like ankle bracelets or other sorts of monitoring because they're in the process of getting a decision on their immigration case. So these are people who are following the immigration process and the laws. They received a message for a check-in earlier that week saying they needed to show up at this facility. They attended the check-in and were arrested.
How does this approach differ from what, previous presidential administrations might have done with, at least people in this sort of category, but I guess, more broadly speaking as well?
Well, I think many Chicago and other nationwide lawyers have said this is perhaps unprecedented. These are not tactics that were used in the past, especially when we saw immigrants, asylum seekers, and others following the immigration process and attending court hearings or, complying with laws. So that's different from what has been seen in the past. Not to say that hasn't happened in the past if, someone is found eligible to be deported. But in these cases, we're seeing people maybe with pending court dates get arrested and immediately moved elsewhere.
What effect are these arrests and the way they're being carried out? What effect is that having in the communities?
It's having a chilling effect on many, neighbors, many immigrants with active cases who are now doubtful about showing up to court, which then would lead to their immediate, a situation where they might immediately be called to be deported if they miss a court date. So it's a difficult position for those in the immigration system. It's also a difficult position for those who are undocumented, who are now fearful of potential ICE raids at workplaces, similar to those seen in Los Angeles last week, that prompted so many protests locally and nationwide.
We're going to talk in a few minutes about Illinois' sanctuary laws and Governor Pritzker's defense of them in Washington this week, but I understand there have been questions about Chicago police and whether they helped Immigration and Customs Enforcement last week. What's going on there?
Correct. At the incident that we're talking about on June 4th, Chicago police arrived at the scene. Chicago police and ICE cooperating with ICE and claims it was there to protect public safety as protesters assembled outside the building where ICE was making the arrests. However, three city aldermen have introduced an order to city council to investigate whether CPD violated local sanctuary laws and helped in any way ICE officials at the scene.
Oh, fascinating. It'll be interesting to hear how that plays out. All right, one more thing. We're planning a conversation on Monday's program about protests against ICE across the country, especially given ongoing events in California. How have protests looked in Chicago?
We have seen large demonstrations start happening in Chicago. We saw one on Tuesday with thousands marching through the loop, in a, in what they called a support to fellow Los Angeles protesters, as well as just denouncing the immigration deceptive tactics that some federal authorities are carrying out. And we are expecting, we had another protest yesterday, and we're expecting a large demonstration on Saturday that could bring thousands to the city's downtown as other protests happen nationwide.
Well, like I said, we are planning to talk more about that on Monday's show. We have an interview lined up with a former head of the Illinois National Guard, retired general. So I hope listeners will tune in then. But for now, Francia Garcia Hernandez, reporter with Block Club Chicago. Thank you so much for sharing some of your work with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
And as a reminder, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We turn now in our political review to yesterday's U.S. House hearing on Illinois and other states' sanctuary state policies. This featured Governor J.B. Pritzker, among others. And joining me now to talk about what happened is Daniel Sivak, who reported on all this from Washington for the Chicago Tribune. Dan, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right, immigration, especially when it comes to people who are here without legal permission, it's become arguably the sort of hot topic in national politics the past few months. Where did Governor Pritzker position himself on this issue, you know, and on these sanctuary policies he was there to defend?
Well, I think what we saw from Governor Pritzker is pretty consistent with what we've been hearing from him and other Democrats, especially since the beginning of the Trump administration. They will first do some throat clearing and say, surely, if there are violent criminals here illegally, we do not want them in the United States. And they have no problem deporting people who are actually violent, who have committed crimes. But then they have limits in each state is a little different. Where they say basically the federal government is in charge of immigration enforcement. Our state and local forces are not part of that. They have other jobs to do, other public safety concerns, and they will cooperate with a judicial warrant if ICE comes with one, but they're not going to do what they call an administrative warrant to pick up people that like are leaving prison or jail that ICE wants. So there's they've tried to make this somewhat nuanced position, but one that I think is pretty consistent with what they've been saying for months.
Los Angeles has gotten a lot of attention this week because of ongoing protests against ICE action. President Trump deployed 4,000 California National Guard troops over the objections of the government there, and even a few hundred Marines to support ICE and, I guess, deal with protesters, he would say. As we'll talk about on Monday, there is, there are questions about whether Trump can do what he did. What was Pritzker's response to these events?
Well, Governor Pritzker, like the other governors there, I think this especially hit home to them because they are the commanders in chief of the National Guard in their own states. And they had previously sent a letter, all the Democratic governors had issued a statement saying that basically Trump shouldn't be usurping the National Guard and taking that control away from Governor Newsom. Their argument is that every time that they, Pritzker specifically said, every time he deploys the National Guard in Illinois, it's in consultation and cooperation with local law enforcement, and that at times when the federal government wants to, nationalize the guard, the long-standing practice has been to do that in coordination with the governor of the state. There have been exceptions for like the civil rights era, sort of, enforcing desegregation orders in places like Alabama. But that was 50, 60 years ago. So that's very special circumstances, which they don't think were warranted in this case.
One other thing that came up is, you'll recall a couple of years ago when the governor of Texas and then Florida decided to, I guess the steel man version of this would be to say to encourage Illinois' government to, live up to its sanctuary policies. The more cynical way might be to say to troll blue states. They started busing migrants. And Governor Pritzker talked about that, right? And how Illinois responded to that. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he again, I mean, he faulted Governor Abbott in Texas for his approach. And to be clear, the sanctuary policies isn't, like everyone gets free stuff. The sanctuary policies is specifically about how law enforcement deals with this. And the people who were bussed from Texas were mostly legal. I mean, they're asylum seekers from places like Venezuela. That said, Pritzker made a point of contrasting sort of the welcoming, efforts of Illinois and Chicago to try to find places for them to stay, find resources for them in comparison with some of the harsher penalties or harsher treatment that these same migrants, again, here legally, but who have cases going through and at least when they're initially there, can't work because of U.S. law. So anyway, he tried to draw that contrast, and again, was trying to make everyone clear that Illinois had the more, humanitarian approach to this.
What did you hear from the Republicans on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, talking about these issues and just how they portrayed Illinois and Chicago, which I should say, for listeners' sake who may not know, you are from here originally, you grew up here, and you still have family in the area, so you're pretty familiar with Illinois, even though you're in D.C. now.
Very familiar. There is there's a notion, and I talked to one of the Illinois members of Congress where Republicans love to beat up on Chicago and Illinois. That's kind of a rhetorical punching bag that they always come to. If you listen to the Republican attacks on Illinois and the other sanctuary states, it was a lot of conflating sort of criminal activity with immigration activity. And so they would, bring up some horrific, case that happened with an immigrant, either hitting someone as a drunk driver or setting someone on fire at the New York subway, and then sort of blame their immigration status for that, which, the governors were trying to say, look, if they are already adjudicated a criminal, then we want to get rid of them. There's been many studies to say, immigrants tend to have actually lower rates of criminal activity than even U.S. citizens.
There's a paragraph in one of yesterday's stories in the Tribune that reads, "Because the Oversight Committee is a contentious forum with partisan firebrands competing for attention, the panel's hearings often devolve into side political skirmishes." And Governor Pritzker sort of addressed this writ large in speaking with reporters after. Here's his assessment of the hearing, and I should say this audio is courtesy of Tribune political reporter and friend of the show, Rick Pearson.
This hearing was a demonstration of just how bad this Republican-controlled Congress really is. Again, nothing accomplished, an entire day of just harping on something that, frankly, most of which was false. And would I say it's a waste? I think this entire Republican-controlled Congress is a waste.
Congressman, during our hearing.
Okay, if you couldn't quite hear that, he said, "I think this entire Republican-controlled Congress is a waste," end quote. Dan, I wonder what hyper-partisan moments stood out to you.
I think there were, well, I will say that I think that the governors generally came in with the idea that they are going to be the adults in the room, As you mentioned, there are some pretty well-known firebrands for both the liberals and the conservatives on that committee. And then on top of that, there were all sorts of people who are not normally on the committee who were allowed to join, mostly from the governor's home states. So either people that were trying to attack the governors or you know, laud them. But anyway, some of the there was Brandon Gill from Texas attacked the governor, and when he wasn't getting anywhere on immigration, started asking the governor if he had ever used a women's bathroom. There was Congresswoman Boebert from Colorado who came after Pritzker trying to talk about destruction of property and whether that's ever warranted, and then Pritzker's basically said, "Look, you have no grounds to stand and attack and talk about insurrection in LA when there was an insurrection here at the U.S. Capitol to overturn an election." And she said, "That wasn't an insurrection." And he said, "Then you don't know what an insurrection is." So I mean, there were plenty. There were Mary Miller from who you guys had already talked about from downstate Illinois had you know, came after Pritzker, and he said, "I don't want to take criticisms from someone who's praising Adolf Hitler,"
Oh boy.
referring to her comments on January 6th. And of course, he's Jewish and is, you know, been
Yeah.
active in the Holocaust museums and that kind of deal. So those were, I mean, there were many. Those top of mind, those kind of stuck out to me.
I cannot believe we are living in this timeline sometimes. Dan Vok reports out of Washington, D.C. You can read his coverage in the Chicago Tribune, Bloomberg, Politico, elsewhere. Dan, thank you so much for being with us again on the 21st show.
Sure, thanks for having me.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.